Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Eric Kalber. He's pastor at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Thompson Falls, Montana. Good morning, Pastor Kalber. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Andy. I'm doing well.
Good, good. Tell us about Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Thompson Falls, Montana.
Yes, we are a relatively new congregation, about 2 years as an official congregation. As a mission plant before that, busy doing a lot of different things, getting ready for VBS, and a lot of exciting things happening here. Thompson Falls is a pretty small town, but it's a really gorgeous area up here in Montana.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Getting ready for VBS, I'm sure, is exciting. I was just looking at the pictures of the preparations going on for VBS, and I'm sure it's an exciting time there.
It is, very much. Yeah, very busy, but very good.
Well, we're going to study Acts chapter 21 this morning, verses 15 through 36. Any background on the text before we get into our study?
It's a very interesting text. It's a key text, really, in a lot of ways. It's interesting to get in such depth with it, as it's really all about justification. It's all about the doctrine of justification and the questions that were happening for the church then. Jerusalem being the center of this, what we're talking about today, we have to look back at what happened there in chapter 15. And really, this is still the question that happened in 15. What must people do? The questions of circumcision, the questions of the law, and what must be kept in order to be saved. And so the feelings are still there, and we'll see that today in the text. Paul is going today really to, first off, give an offering to really try to reach out to the Jewish Christians to show them love from the Gentile people, an offering that he's been gathering on his missionary journeys. And secondly, he also is going to continue to keep his vow that he made in chapter 18, the Nazarite vow, which comes up again today.
We're studying Acts chapter 21 today, verses 15 through 36. If you have questions, you can give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. As we're digging into Acts chapter 21, shall I read the first paragraph for us to get us started?
That sounds great.
All right, Acts chapter 21, verse 15. After these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem, and some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. Now, I'm not sure if I got that name right or not, so this gives us an idea of where we are. After these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mason. Who is Mason of Cyprus? Who is this Mason of Cyprus, an early disciple?
He is. He's a disciple from Caesarea, and he is one that assisted with the trip to Jerusalem. And it just really, he's an early convert in the Jerusalem church.
Did I get the name right? I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Yeah, that's probably how I would pronounce it.
It's got an MN at the beginning, like mnemonic, so maybe it's Nason, I don't know.
It could very well be.
So, all right, verses 17 and following, this section gets a little bit bigger. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law. They have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled and the offering presented for each one of them. So, Paul, when we come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. All right, they were happy they were there.
Well, yeah, and that's actually a pretty interesting note. I think there was a lot of nerves coming into this, as right before this, there was a lot of people telling Paul, don't go, including Luke. Don't go. There was a big prophecy saying, by Agrippa, saying that you're going to be bound. He went through a pretty theatrical display of this. And Paul really felt that this is what he needed to do. Even though that there were prophets and people telling him not to, for Paul, this is what he needed to do. And so I'm sure it was a roller coaster of emotions, and when they received him gladly, I don't know, I probably would have breathed a sigh of relief, but as we're going to see, I don't know that that is the right emotion either. But so for Paul, this is a big step, and they receiving him gladly was a good thing. You know, as I said, there was a lot of contention between Jewish Christians and Paul, and they, as we'll see coming up, they had a lot of feeling toward what he was doing. And I think a lot of this does still play on what happened at the Jerusalem Council, in all the decision that really the law is not necessary for salvation. In fact, it can't be. Peter, in verse 9 of chapter 15, he says, actually we'll start at verse 8, and God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will. So this was a big deal that happened at the Jerusalem Council, and so those emotions are still there, and I think that's a lot of what's playing in as we come into this text.
On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. What do we know about James and the elders?
James is the bishop of the Church of Jerusalem. He's the head guy, brother of Jesus. We know a lot about James from his writings. And it's interesting to look at who he is and then look at his writings based on the idea of justification. We know that the book of James was one that, in the beginning, Luther certainly wasn't a huge fan of. I think he became more comfortable with it as things went on in his life. But so through the book of James, we see that he was very zealous for the law. I don't think that he had a wrong understanding of justification, but he did believe that our lives did reflect our faith, and showing that. And so James, being the head of the church, this is who he would have given the offering to, and the elders there would have been there to assist. And and they're the head of the church, and it's a big church. The Church of Jerusalem is big and powerful.
And after greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they had heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousand there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They're all zealous for the law. And they have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to the customs. What then is to be done?" Let's pause there. So after greeting them, he related to them, related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry.
Yeah, they're coming to understand what is happening in Paul's ministry through God, and they rightly give glory to God for that, and as Paul would do. And, you know, he's winning big wins in his ministry, and, you know, Ephesus is one of the biggest, and they're hearing about these things, and they're understanding what's happening. And when they hear about these things and the miracles that have happened and the people that are coming over, they do give glory to God.
And then they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done?" They will certainly hear that you have come. So now they're expressing their concerns, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. This, to me, is kind of where the rubber hits the road for this text, where human emotion found its way. And, you know, they give glory to God, and it's kind of, it almost has a feeling like, good, good, but this is what we're really worried about. This is our real concern with you. And so, I mean, these are Christians, however they are Jews. And these are men that their entire lives and their ancestors before them were told that these things were necessary, the customs of Moses, the law of Moses. And it was necessary. These things like circumcision, it was a command by God. And so this is not small stuff to them. And so they've heard that Paul is telling that people shouldn't do it. And I think really their anger, almost, it feels kind of like anger to me, comes to the fact that they believe that Paul was telling people that they shouldn't do it, that it was a sin, almost a sinful thing to follow those customs that they knew and loved. And really, it's a misunderstanding. Paul's not saying that they can't do these things. Paul is teaching the Gentiles, and of course there's Jews among them through what they've just said in the text. He is telling them it's not necessary, that there is nothing that will save them through these customs, through the law of Moses. And in fact, Moses never said that this was a way to become right with God. And so Paul understands these things. Paul has love for the law. In fact, as I said, he's coming to continue his vow, and they're going to ask him to actually do it all over again.
What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law.
So, and yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, well, go ahead.
And the truth is Paul is living the customs of the law, and he was a Jewish Christian. We know from Paul's, before his conversion, that he was a Pharisee, and so he understood their mind. He understood exactly what was happening and going for them to go through. And so it's not that Paul was against following some of the customs, but he was against mandating it. He was against saying that this is what you have to do to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand this so well. I mean, there is no better book than Romans to understand justification, that it is simply that it's grace by faith on the account of Christ that saves us. And so this is Paul's heart, and he teaches us so clearly. The book of Romans is a very important book, and seeing how much he clearly understands justification, we understand what he was teaching as he was on his missionary journeys. And so the Jewish Christians and obviously non-believing Jews were very angry with him for what they depicted as him telling people to completely abandon Moses. And so as they're coming into this, what should we do? I think really the question for James is, you know, how do I keep you safe? How do I please or keep the people from rioting and all these things that had to weigh heavy on the leader of that church?
Verse 25, but as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality.
And this is straight really from the Jerusalem Council in 15. This is the same stuff that is said by Peter. This is what we are going to still ask the Gentiles to do. And this letter, you know, there's nothing in it that I find wrong, except for the fact that, well, we still see the love of the law. We see how much that, you know, kind of have a feeling of feet in two camps, except for the fact that, you know, even as Christians today, we do delight in God's law because of our salvation, and not because we do it to be saved, but because we are saved. And so it's interesting, you know, this letter, it's the same letter that is in chapter 15 from Jerusalem Council. It's very similar, and this is the stuff that they're saying. We still really think that even Gentiles should not do these things. And we can't disagree with sexual immorality. I think, you know, we don't, you know, the blood and the, you know, eating things that were strangled and these things, we're not concerned with that today, but this was still a big concern for them.
Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled and the offering presented for each one of them. So he went through with it.
He did. Yep, and I think it's one of those things. Paul did not at any means, you know, first time you read this, you might look at it and say, you know, Paul really knuckled under. It seems like he just almost went against his own teachings. But again, this really shows that Paul's not against the customs, and that he had already done the Nazarite vow, and he's doing it again. And he had a love for his brothers there. And so he's not wanting to make James's life harder. He's following what, as the leader of the church in Jerusalem, this is what they're asking him to do. And so he's respecting their wishes, and showing that some of these customs are not wrong. It's just not necessary for salvation.
Very good. Any other comments on this first section before we go on to the next paragraph?
I got most of it, I think. It's one of those things. This is really the focus that I looked at for the sermonette today. And it's exciting stuff as we see these different cultures colliding and the just trying to get the correct understanding. And for me, it's exciting to see the church working, and even though it's not perfect, and people coming together and reasoning and looking at the Word of God and really trying to decide, because they have a big job on their hands. This is the church, and really Paul's big thing is this is the doctrine in which the church, as Luther said, this is the doctrine of justification, which the church either rise or will either stand or fall. And if we get this wrong, we risk becoming like any other religion. Every other religion in the world is concerned with what you must do. This is what you have to do to be saved, if to please God, however you want to put it. And Paul understands that, no, we are saved simply by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection. And so we're seeing kind of these doctrines starting to clash, or continuing to clash, and you see the people trying to please please man, please friends and brothers, and yet we know so well that Paul understands justification. And so it's a very interesting text, and coming out of it, you know, really it shows so much what we fall into even today. This text speaks a lot about what I see in Christianity today, in that there continues to be denominations and churches who believe that there are multiple things that we must do. And it's kind of, you know, one of those conversations you have with people, and people will say, and what do you have to do to be saved? Well, it's justification through Christ. And then it seems like if you wait long enough, there's always a but or an and. And that's what we're seeing here. And Paul, really, throughout his life and throughout his ministry and his writings, is saying there is no and. There is no but. This justification is simply by the faith given through God, through the grace that has been given in the work of Christ Jesus.
We are studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Eric Kalber, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Thompson Falls, Montana. We're in Acts chapter 21. If you have questions today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo at kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll pick up around verse 27. Stick around for more His Time as we're studying the Word of God right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO. The messenger of good news.
Have you ever committed the sin against the Holy Spirit? Is it true that such a sin is not forgivable? With the help of our Ruminations co-host, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz, we will be discussing the sin against the Holy Spirit as God understands it, which means we are going to use the Bible to define the concept.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading, the Daily Lectionary, with the Reverend Eric Kalber, pastor at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Thompson Falls, Montana. We're in Acts chapter 21 this morning. Time to pick up around verse 27. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another, and as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks, and when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd, for the mob of the people followed, crying out, "Away with him!" All right, now it gets intense.
Yes.
When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law in this place."
Yeah, and verse, you know, so he's almost done. He's going to give notice. And the Jews in Asia, they see him. And, you know, Paul's, a lot of this gives from Paul's break with the synagogue in Ephesus. And we also understand that because of his success that he's had in his journeys and all of this, this is where this anger's coming from. They're very angry, and we see that James understood some of this was coming. And this is why he asked Paul to do what he asked him to do, and that was to take these four men and do this Nazarite vow and to pay their expenses, do all the whole thing. And we see that, unfortunately, James' plan didn't work. And it just, it's, for me, this is where, you know, it shows the work that we can't live in those both worlds. We can't say that you must do these things, yet it's Christ that saves you. It's the fact that it is only this, and it's only the justification through Christ, and the rest of it is getting in the way. This is getting in the way of ministry, of Christ's church, and these men are very angry with Paul, and they see him there, and they make their move.
Not only was he accused of teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place, moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. He brought in Greeks.
Yep, and see, that's really goes to show the understanding. I mean, so I read you that text from Peter where it's said, you know, we're saved through faith, they're saved through faith, that God has not treated, is not treating the Gentiles any differently. And yet, here we go with these men come into this holy place, and these men don't belong. And so, we're seeing the real feelings, what they believe is happening. And so, we see that there is still this huge chasm between the two cultures. And, you know, I don't think it helped things that, you know, the Roman people of the day, the Romans, they believed Christianity to be a sect of Judaism, and they were treating the same. And so I think that there's just a lot of anger. And they're saying, you know, this is our place of worship. This is what we do. We keep the law of Moses. We still value these things greatly. And how can you believe bring these men in here? And they, of course, were saying that Judaism's the way. And so there's just it's not a small thing that there's so much anger.
For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. So then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut.
Yeah, and this is what everything that was happening at the end of chapter 20 and coming into Paul coming back to Jerusalem. This is what they're worried about, and so Paul's not going to be surprised. Paul didn't doubt what Agrippa said and what people were saying about the fact that he shouldn't go because he's going to be bound up. And so when this happens, Paul's not surprised. You know, he's gone through so many ups and downs in his ministry already. Now he's here, and he's being arrested, being seized. And so this is where the beginning of that prophecy, this is the beginning of that coming true, that this is where he is going to be bound.
And so as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. So he at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul.
Yeah, and so you know, what's interesting is this is all taking place where this is the very same area where Jesus was arrested, the very same same buildings. He is going to be put to, you know, this is going to be the Sanhedrin that is going to, just the way they put Christ on trial, this is the same situation. And what's interesting, too, is this is also what Paul used to belong to. This is what Paul was doing to people. And so this is happening now to Paul. And the centurion's coming into place to, really, they're coming in, and this is what saves Paul. And so he is going to appeal, of course, to his citizenship of Rome, and that really is going to be a big, it's going to save him in the flesh in the fact that he can appeal to the fact that he is a Roman citizen.
Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another. And as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. For the mob of the people followed, crying out, "Away with him."
It's, you know, there's so many ties. It's similar to what was happening when Jesus, of course, Paul's not Jesus, and I'm not making that statement, but it is similar, and it's striking that, you know, the crowd gets in such a fervor and, you know, away with him, and it's the same anger, and the soldiers stepping in is really what saves Paul here.
As we're looking over the text today as a whole, what would you like for us to learn from the text today, Pastor? Anything else? I know we have the sermonette coming up in our morning prayer segment, but looking over this as a whole, is there anything else you'd like for us to gain from the text?
Yeah, I really think that, you know, it's really what's to be gained here is the understanding of justification in the fact that it's such an easy doctrine to confuse. And so when Luther says that this is the doctrine that the church will either stand and fall on, he means it. And, you know, I look around our world today, and this is the doctrine that is being confused all the time. And no, it's not the same issues of the law that people say we must do, but it's similar, some of the same. And we've expanded it further in certain areas. And really, we need to be so careful in how we treat justification, in how we talk, how we teach others, how we live our lives, to show that, yes, we do follow the law of God, but it's not for salvation. And we delight in God's law simply because we respond to the love he showed us. And so when we do our works, when we do the things that God asks us to do, we're not doing them to save ourselves, because Jesus has done all of that. We're doing them because we love God and we are responding to that good news of the gospel. And really, to protect this in our world today and to do our best from, you know, our pulpits in our churches in the LCMS and as LCMS congregation members in our circles, not to change the doctrine of justification, but to live that out in our lives and our love towards one another.
So I don't have to go shave my head?
No.
Okay.
If you want to. I do, because I'm going bald. But
you are free in the gospel to shave your head.
Yes.
Very good. We've been studying the Daily Lectionary, Acts chapter 21, verses 15 through 36 today with the Reverend Eric Kalber. He is the pastor at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Thompson Falls, Montana. Pastor Kalber, thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study God's Word today.
You bet. Thank you.
And God's blessings to you and all the saints there at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Thompson Falls, and blessings on your upcoming vacation Bible school.
Thank you, Andy. Blessings to you.
Thanks. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to sanctify your morning and morning prayer right around the corner. Hope you can join us for all of it. All a part of the lineup here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.